Hebrews chapter number 11. When you find your place there, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. I want to read one verse to you. Verse number 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Let's read that one more time. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now let's pray together. Our Father, I'm so thankful tonight for the blessed Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for the precious Holy Spirit that empowers and endues your servants to preach the Word of God. And I stand in need this hour, Lord, of a special touch from the Holy One of God. May thy Spirit breathe this night upon this tabernacle of clay. And Lord, may you anoint this Spirit within me, that I might preach the Word of God with great power, with great liberty and boldness. And I pray that you will turn sinners from the error of their way. And Lord, that you will help the people of God to find great grace and help in a time of need. And we'll thank you, Lord, for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I've been preaching through Hebrews chapter number 11 and trying my best to preach to you on faith. And tonight we come to verse number 31, that person in the Bible called Rahab the harlot. It's amazing to me how that the Holy Spirit here in this text still termed Rahab as a harlot after she had been saved by the grace of God. And I don't think that's to show any disgrace to Rahab. I simply believe the Spirit put it there that he might show you and I the depths of God's divine grace. How that grace can still reach down into the depths of men and women's souls and save the vilest and most wretched sinner and make them clean by the grace of God. And I want to try to look at Rahab tonight and say a few things by way of introduction, and then point out some things about Rahab's faith in Joshua chapter number 2. And I want you to keep your Bibles open to that chapter. I'm going to be preaching out of it in just a few minutes. I want to say, first of all, that in Rahab's faith, or in her life, and her deliverance, that we see a manifestation of God's divine grace. I'm talking about grace vividly brought to light. Here is a woman, the Bible is clear, that is a prostitute. She is a harlot. She has sold her body to men to make a living. She is no doubt one of the vilest sinners in all the Bible, but yet God's grace can reach further down than any sinner can reach up. And how God's wonderful grace is manifest in this woman's life. And beside that, Rahab was a Gentile. And if you've studied your Bible very long, you'll know that the Gentiles were a people that stood outside the commonwealth of Israel. In fact, the Bible said that they were aliens and without Christ, and aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and that they were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And that's where Rahab was, outside the covenants of God, without any hope, having absolutely no hope in this world. But yet divine grace, my friend, can reach down where there is no hope and give hope. I'm glad, I'm so thankful that in September the 13th, 1970,
as a sinner living without any hope, as a Gentile deserving of hell outside the promises of God, but yet the Holy Ghost visited where old Brother Hall was and lifted him out of the depths of sin and magnified the grace of God in my life. Oh, how God's divine grace is manifested and brought to light in the life of Rahab. Just a little sinner girl, a Gentile, shut up in the city of Jericho without God and without hope, and yet by the grace of God, visited by two spies, and there found divine favor in the eyes of God and was delivered from the sentence of death that hung over that city. What a wonder that is. I want to say that she was a sinner by choice. That's right. She was a sinner by choice. Nobody has to be a prostitute. Nobody has to be a harlot. But here is a woman that chose that lifestyle. Can I say to you tonight, church, that all sinners are by nature sinners and by choice likewise. She chose to be what she was, a sinner, a prostitute, a harlot. But yet God's divine grace was magnified in her life, and she was saved by the good grace of God. And then, too, she was living under the sentence of death. God had already pronounced the sentence of death upon the city of Jericho. God had told Joshua, you march around that city, And one time a day for 6 days, on the seventh day, march around it 7 times, and that city will, the walls of that city will fall. And you can take that city a prey. Don't leave a man, don't leave a woman, don't leave a boy, don't leave a girl, don't leave any living being, no beast or man alive. The sentence of death was upon Rahab. And yet you found divine grace in the eyes of Almighty God. Brother, I want to say I'm glad that's the way it is. Hallelujah. A sinner lives under the condemnation of Almighty God and living under the sentence of death. I told our men tonight now, back there in the hallway, that I put this thing on. I told our men tonight that old Dr. J. Frank Norris, the story was told about him years ago, how that he had a family in his church that was living in sin, and they refused to get right with God and wouldn't get right with God, though they were extended the opportunity a number of times to do so. And on a Saturday night, the story goes that while they were out living their wild lifestyle, they were involved in an automobile accident that took the life of the entire family. And the bodies were so strewn and cut up and mutilated that portions of their body could not be found at the accident site that night. But old J. Frank North, on a Sunday morning after the accident, went out to where it was, and by the grace of God was able to find a segment of that man's head laying in the grass that they had overlooked. He picked up that piece of head, walked back to his church, had it under, I guess, some kind of a plate, set it up on the pulpit of the church, and preached. And when it come time to preach, lifted the lid off of that charger and preached on the wages of sin is death. Are you hearing what Brother Hall is telling you tonight? I'm telling you that Rahab was living under the sentence of death, and so is every Christ-rejecting sinner, my friend. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad, oh, hey, listen now, though she was living under the sentence of death, I'm glad when she heard about the spies that she yielded her heart and gave her life to the Lord Jesus and was gloriously saved and birthed into the family of Almighty God. Hallelujah to God. Hey, and that's why you're living if you're lost. And that's why you were living if you used to be lost. Amen. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. And sinners, my friend, are not waiting to be condemned. They're already under condemnation. Amen. And the consequences of condemnation is death. Now, somebody said, well, people die, everybody die. Lost and saved alike. But I want you to hear Brother Hall real well. Everybody dies once, but honey, not everybody dies twice. You hear me? Well, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you'll die one time, but if you've rejected God, you're headed for a lake of fire, which is the second death. But I'm glad, thank God, that I've been lifted. I'm glad I've been pulled out. I'm glad I've been lifted out of the fire, delivered from the pit. Amen. Brought out of the burning. Thank God I've been delivered by the grace of God from the sentence of death. Hallelujah. Amen. What a Savior. What a Savior. That woman was living under the sentence of death. All of these things manifested or brought to light God's divine grace in her life. Then I want to say by way of introduction, number two, not only was there a manifestation of divine grace, but I also see a whosoever will gospel in these verses. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how do you see them now? I want you to follow with me in your Bible. I said, a whosoever will gospel. Follow in chapter number 2 of the book of Joshua, and I want to read these verses together. Verse number 9. And she said unto the men, that is the two spies, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Notice verse number 10. Notice that word, for we have heard, for we have, hey, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Rahab didn't say, I heard. She said, for we have heard. We've all heard. The whole city's heard. Everybody in Jericho's heard of what happened to you on the other side of the Jordan. We've heard how that God dried up the Red Sea and how God destroyed the kings of Og and Sihon on the other side and how God dried up the Jordan River. We've all heard these things. Now you hear me well. That typifies the entire Gentile race of people. They all heard. God's gospel, friend, without a doubt, is to whosoever will. Look what it says in verse 11. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt. Are y'all following in your Bible? Now, Brother Hall's been accused of being a Calvinist, but I've never been a Calvinist. I've always preached whosoever will, and everybody in Jericho had the same opportunity to be saved that Rahab did, because they all heard, all their hearts were melted. But thanks be unto God, it said in verse 9, she said unto them, I know, hallelujah to God, there's the difference. They all heard, but there was a woman that knew that's the difference between faith, amen, and religion. That's the difference in faith and religion. We've heard. We've heard, but do you know? Big difference. Whosoever will. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever. Whosoever. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let whosoever will come and drink of the fountain of the water of life freely. I'm telling you, friend, they all heard. They all had an opportunity. They could all have been saved, but only Rahab put her faith in what she had heard. Well, there's going to be a lot of people in hell because they failed to put their faith in what they've heard. Are you listening to me? I hope you're hearing me. They all had heard. They all had heard. But she knew. And she believed. She knew and she believed. There's her faith. By faith, Rahab the harlot, perish not with those, hey, there's my text, with those that believe not. She perished not when the walls fell down and the crowd on the inside perished. She perished not with those that what, Brother Hall? That believe not. They have no faith. Not all men have faith. Are you hearing me tonight? That's right. Hallelujah to God. And then I see number three, not only a manifestation of divine grace, and I see a whosoever will gospel, but I also see a rejecting of the gospel. I never seen this until today. Somebody said, Brother Hall, can grace be rejected? Oh, yes. You better believe grace can be rejected. That's right. The Holy Ghost can be resisted, and the Holy Ghost can be rejected. And you know His Spirit will not always strive with man. Friend, I'll tell you, it troubles me. It troubles me when I watch the Spirit of God knocking on the heart's door of men or women that may very well be lost, and they will not open their heart up to the grace of God. Amen. In Noah's day, for 120 years he preached, and the Spirit of God strove with the hearts of men. But God said, Noah, there's coming a day when I'm going to build that ark and close the door, and my Spirit will no longer strive with man upon the earth. You better count it a happy day, sinner. Are you hearing me? You better count it a happy day that the Holy Ghost came to your heart to knock upon your heart's door. But you better count it a happier day that you opened the door and said, come in. Hallelujah to God. Now, somebody said, Brother Hall, where do you see that rejection? I'm glad you asked me, because I sure do want to tell you. In chapter number 2 and verse number 1, the Bible said, and Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. They went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Hey, look here. I wonder how they got into the city. They had to get out of the city. Don't leave me now. When they left the city, the only way they could get out was down the wall in a basket by a scarlet thread. So apparently the gate had to be closed when they went out of the city. But the gate was open, friend, when those two spies went into the city. But if you read over in chapter number 6 where Jericho was finally conquered and the walls came down, Joshua and Israel marched in and won the victory. The Bible said that Jericho was straightly shut up because of Israel. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that the door was wide open, friend. Amen. The door was wide open when the spies came. But honey, in chapter 6, the door, the gates of the city were shut. It was too late. It was all over. They had sealed their doom. That crowd was going to hell. And I'm not trying to scare you tonight, but I'm telling you, this may be your last opportunity to get in before God shuts the door of the city. And you stand with us, crying, Lord, open unto us, and God may say, depart from me, I never knew you. That's right. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And it's a dangerous thing to bow your neck to the wooing of the Spirit of God. Say, hey, that's right. Here's a woman that heard, opened her house up, opened the gate, had the gate of the city opened the door to her house, and gladly received those 2 men in. And the rest of the city would not have them. In fact, the king sought them to have them killed. She hid them the only way their lives were spared, and hid them there, and protected them there, and preserved them there. And that's right. And the king shut the doors and said, there'll be nobody else come in, nobody else go out. That's the way a sinner is. Let me alone, God. I've heard all I want to hear. Leave me alone. I don't want no more conviction. I don't want no more Holy Ghost. I don't want no more wood. Let me alone and let me go to hell in the shape I'm in. Dangerous. Dangerous. Real dangerous. Real dangerous. So I see a rejecting of the gospel. But oh, I see a receiving of it. By faith, Rahab the harlot perish not with those that believe not. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing, a receiving of the gospel. Let me ask you tonight, have you received it? Have you received it? Somebody said, Brother Hall, this is Wednesday night. I wouldn't give a flip. This is Tuesday night. I wouldn't give a flip if it's Saturday night. I wanted to preach this on Sunday. God said, no, you're a preacher on Tuesday night. I'm telling you, God's not a fool, church. God ain't a fool, and the Holy Ghost is not a fool. And he knows when to plow and where to plow and who needs the plowing of the Word of God. That's right. You better hear me tonight. I'll guarantee you somebody in here is on your way to hell, and it may be your last opportunity, buddy. God, hey, look here. Ever since the service started now, devil's tried to squeeze it down, clamp it down, kill the Spirit, deaden the Spirit, quench the Holy Ghost, grieve God, cut it off, shut it off. Don't want to hear it. But I'm telling you, I've got too much God on me for you not to hear it. We're going to hear the gospel. It's still the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah to God. Woo! It's still the power of God. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. She received it. And in receiving it, it's where we see her faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. What about Rahab's faith? What kind of a faith? What do we see about faith in Joshua chapter number 2? May I say, first of all, that I see a faith enlightened. I see faith enlightened. Now mark it down. Listen carefully. Rahab and all Jericho had already heard. That's what she said in verse number 9. And verse 10 said, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did under the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, listen what she says in verse 11, he is God in heaven above. And in her earth beneath, hey, that's the faith that saved Rahab. When she realized that God is a God in heaven above and in earth beneath, some of the same thing happened to old Nebuchadnezzar when he kept rejecting God and wouldn't acknowledge God. God let his fingernails grow out like birds' claws, let his hair grow out like feathers, sent him out in the field to eat grass, and the dew of the heaven fell upon him. You're talking about a sorry, ugly-looking creature out in that field. But there came a time after a time when the Holy Ghost came to where old Nebuchadnezzar was, said, hey, in that time that you woke up, if you just acknowledge God, I'll restore you to your rightful place. Hey, that's the way it is in the life of a sinner. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What God wants to do in a sinner is restore them to their fellowship and place with Almighty God. Amen. Hallelujah. She said, you're God's God in heaven and earth both. That's right. Hey, look here. Now, listen to me now. Faith cometh by hearing. There was Rahab's faith. But her faith got enlightened. Somebody said, preacher, come on, tell us how it got enlightened. It's in verse 1. Oh, it's in verse 1. It said, and Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to secretly, to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they come to a harlot's house. I wonder how they got to that harlot's house. I wonder just what led them to that harlot's house. Somebody said, Brother Hall, just an accident. I wonder why they didn't just stroll into somebody else's house. That's right. What about them spies? Said, search out the land. Told them spies, said, go search out the land. Everybody listen to me. Two of them. Not one of them, but two of them. Hey, there's only two elements I know, two things that I know that's got the power to secretly search out the hidden things in the heart of a man. You know where I'm going now. I'm going to tell you them two spies was. Can I say that one of them was Word of God with a capital W? Oh, that's right. Joshua said, send the Word of God over yonder and let God's Word seek out that land and search it out and look in there and find out everything that they can find out. See now, you know what that other one was? I believe the Holy Ghost. The Lord searched the hearts of... I try to rank. Do you think it's a coincidence that the Word of God and the Holy Ghost had a hard time of finding Rahab's house? Woo!
No, sir, I'm going to tell you, there's like a two hound dog on the trail of a coon. They knew where that old harlot lived. They knew where the grace of God should be received. And they went right straight to that old harlot's house and presented her with the gospel. And did she got saved?
Ain't that right or not, Brother Jerry? I'm a trying, church. I'm doing the best I can. God, help us. That's right. Told them to search the land. No doubt, it was the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, them two spies, that went secretly to spy out the land. Now, look here. Hey, you hear me well. Now, I won't say this. The king knew that two spies had come in, and the king knew whose house they went into. But isn't it a marvelous thing how that nobody could find them? But Rahab. Woo! Oh, yes. Somebody said, well, why couldn't they? They didn't believe. They were shut up. They had hardened their hearts. They could not understand. They could not receive. They could not comprehend either one of them because their hearts were hardened to the gospel of Christ. Oh, that's right. They heard and they hardened. Rahab heard and she opened. And she received them both. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That one sinner receiving, another sinner rejecting. The good grace of God. Now, I want everybody to get this. I like this. When God give me this today, I like to have done a double back flip. In verse number 1, he told those two men to go secretly, saying unto them, to go view the land, even Jericho. To go secretly and view the land. And I looked up that word, to view. Does everybody listen? No, to secretly. To secretly view the land. And you know what the very base line of that means? It means a work that is done silently. Oh, yes. May I say to you that that's what he said, go secretly, go silently. May I say to you that's the way the Holy Ghost and the Word of God does? How it spies out the land of an individual's heart and does it secretly. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost tonight may be working in the heart of men, and don't nobody know that the Holy Ghost is there, but the Holy Ghost and Ben himself. Son, that is a secret work. He can be spying in the heart of an individual sitting on the pew beside of you, and they know about it, and you not know one thing about what God's doing in that person's heart. I'm telling you, that's the wonder of the wonders of the grace of God. Aren't you glad that there's no barriers in the heart until the Holy Ghost and God's Word? It's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing the center of the desire of the thoughts and intents of the man's heart. That's right. But now get this. That word, the very base of it, silently, that word secretly, meaning to view, it means silently. But the thing, two things it means. And don't you think I'm trying to add to the Bible or take away, I'm not. But silently, what it means, is what it's get to is silently, how the Spirit of God can plow. Hey. You ever been out in the field? You ever been out in the field when a farmer's plowing? That tractor makes a noise. But some of that sod being turned up is a silent work. No noise at all. Them two plows are, right now what they got, them big plows, big down into that ground. That's what we need around here is a big plow. Yeah, we need the Holy Ghost to drop the big plow. Yeah, men, plow up the fallow ground. Turn up that soil. In the hearts of men and women. Amen. That's right. Plow her up and plow her out. If you please, I wrote down in my Bible this thought to see what you can turn up. Amen. God told those two spies, go on down to Jericho and spy a little bit and see what you can turn up. I'm going to tell you what they turned up. The heart of an old harlot that needed to be saved by the good grace of God. Aren't you glad for the day when the Holy Ghost and the Word of God dropped the gospel plow in your heart and turned up your old sin, your old unbelief, turned up your rebellion, and let the Word of God give it a good shaking for the gospel and converted you by the grace of God?
Joshua said, secretly, spy it out and see what you can turn up and come on back and tell me.
You know what I believe they told him? Look here. They wanted to see that land. Joshua wanted to know what was going on in there. You know what I believe them spies done when they got back? I believe when they reported to Joshua, Joshua may have said something like this, fellas, what did you turn up? You ain't going to believe it, Joshua. There's an old prostitute in there. Woo! She gladly received it. I know, fellas, but what about the strength of the city? You don't understand, Joshua. We ain't giving a flip about the strength of the city. There's an old prostitute down there. Been selling her body to make a living. She gladly received it. Why, when the king sent out to take her head, she sent us up to the rooftop and hid us under a cornstalk. That we might fulfill our entire mission there. Oh, I'm sure y'all said, come on, men. Tell me something about the strength of the city. Who cares a rip about the strength of the city? There's an old sinner down there that needs to get saved by the grace of God. Hey, I'm going to say something else. That I don't want to tell us where God puts the emphasis in spiritual matters. It's not on how strong the wicked city is. It's not how rebellious the devil's crowd is. But is there any old sinners out there willing to receive the gospel? He concentrated his labor on a sinner that was willing to receive the gospel. He said, go out there and see what you can turn up, boys. Now, I'm going to tell you something else that word means. Now, hang on to this now. That word silently, secretly there, not only means to plow, but it has with it the idea of engraving. You ever seen an engraver work? I mean, come on now. I know some of you honorary devils in here used to go to the county fairs. You'd buy them little 50-cent necklaces for that girl and have Rick Love Kelly on that little heart. Huh? That needle point on that engraving pen silently moved across. Silently moved across. That little old locket or whatever it was, and never made one earthly sound. You never heard it say, not one thing. Absolutely not one. And that's exactly what the Holy Ghost does. Listen what they were doing. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them upon their heart. I'm going to tell you what the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, was doing. There's a plowing up for an old rebellious heart. There's a plowing up the sin in a sinner's heart. There's short Rahab, she's going to be destroyed with the rest of that crowd. But all at the same time, there's a writing the Word of God on the fleshly tables of old Rahab's heart. She said, I've heard, now my eyes have seen, and I believe with all my heart that the God you serve is the God of heaven, and He's the God of earth. Are you hearing me, friend? Oh, how her faith was enlightened by the Word of God and by the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, if you're saved tonight, that's the only two things that will enlighten your faith in Almighty God. Son, you ain't going to have your faith enlightened in fairy tales and skyscraping preachers. Somebody said, what do you mean skyscraping preachers? One story on top of another story on top of another story on top of another story. I never heard so many preachers always want to get up and talk about Uncle Joe and Aunt Susie and what happened to them 75 years ago. What about the Bible? What about the Bible, friend? We've got so many anemic Baptists today that teeter-totter, fluctuate up and down, not like the thermometer in Kentucky. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Engrave. That's right. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. I hope this is right. Chapter number 3 and verse number 7. He said, but if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. What he's saying there, if it was glorious when God pinned down the law on two tables of rock, how much more glorious is it when the Holy Ghost secretly plows in a sinner's heart and engraves on that sinner's heart the Word of God till the Holy Ghost comes in to live? It ought to bring glory, joy, unspeakable and full of glory in our hearts. Let me ask you something. Is he engraving anything on your heart? How about this on your heart? Jesus loves you. Not Kelly loves Ricky. Not Jerry loves Brenda. Oh no, it's not Benny loves Angie. Jesus loves you. Do you remember that day, sinner? Woo! I'm going to tell you, it's something Rahab never got over, buddy. I'll guarantee you on that. Amen. I'm satisfied she must have told the king. What an operation. And didn't even leave a scar. What an incision with a two-edged sword. Never left a scar. Woo! Hallelujah to God. That's right. Now I want to show you something. Don't anybody leave me now. Faith enlightened. Thy faith, Rahab, the harlot. Perish not with them that believe not when she hid the spies. Not only faith enlightened, but I want you to look at faith enlarged. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what do you mean faith enlarged? I'm glad you asked. Notice in verse number 11 of our text. Verse number 11. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in heaven beneath and earth beneath. Listen to me well. Everybody look right up here. Right there, Rahab's faith is secured. I mean, she knows that she knows that she knows without a doubt she's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I mean, her faith, it's been enlightened and she's secured in God. She knows she's been sealed with the Holy Ghost into the day of redemption. She's not worried about the walls coming down. She could stand out on an eighth of an ounce of mortar holding up the very pinnacle of the city and sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, and never worry about it crashing. She had enough faith to believe there wasn't anything between her and the ground but that one scarlet thread. It was enough to sustain her by the grace of God. Well, I ask you something. You've got that security tonight. I'll guarantee you she could swing out over hell on that piece of thread, son, and sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen. Her faith secured. But look here. Watch her faith being enlarged. Notice verse 12. Now therefore, I'm saved, but now therefore, I'm in the ark. I'm born again. But here's what I want out of you. I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. Amen. And that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Look how that her burden immediately, how her faith when it was enlarged, immediately she had a burden for mom and for dad and brothers and sisters, and not only for them, but for all they have, every bit of the whole family. I'm telling you tonight, on the authority of the Word of God, son, that God doesn't want your family to go to hell. God doesn't want your wife in hell. God doesn't want your children in hell. God doesn't want your husband in hell. God don't want your mommies and daddies, uncles and aunts, brothers and sisters in hell. God wants them saved by the grace of God. I'm about to kill myself preaching. And y'all sitting there looking at me like a bunch of cash and a new gas. Faith enlarged. Let me ask something. What have you done about your family?
She said, give me a token. Swear to me.
You know what I believe? I believe we could lay that faith right alongside Jacob when he wrestled with the angel of God all night. I won't let you go. If I can read between the bottom lines, I believe it's exactly what Rahab said. Had said in her heart, you either give me a token that you're going to save my family or I'm going to holler for help, buddy.
Right. Amen. You either give me a token that my family's going to get saved by the grace of God, or I'm going to holler for the king and watch him cut off your stinking head and shout while he does it.
You better take hold of what I'm saying. You hear, Brother Harwell? There's no reason at all for our families to be dying and going to hell, buddy. Well, don't you blame God? Don't you blame God because some member of your family is going to hell? I'm going to tell you, well, our hearts ain't right with God. We don't have any tears. We don't have any burden. We don't have any concern. We're not interested in our family. If we was, we wouldn't laugh and cut up and listen to their jokes and chat and drink. Well, that's right, and cut up and lie with them, go on with their mess. I'm telling you, if our hearts was right, we'd have tears in our eyes on our knees of begging God. Rahab said, I'm saved. The walls are coming down. I'm going to get out of it. But I've got a family in here. I've got a mama. I've got a daddy. I've got brothers and I've got sisters. No, she didn't say anything about a husband. Didn't have none. She's a whore. Isn't it a marvelous thing? Now, look here. It's strange to me that every time a whore in the Bible gets saved, she wants to see her family saved. That woman at that well said, I want to tell you a man told me all things ever I did. What about your burden for your family? Oh, I'm saved, preacher. What about the children sitting on the pew beside of you? Let me alone. I want to go to hell. Look at your baby. Do you want your baby to fly in hell with you? Do you want that child that you went into the jaws of death to deliver into this world to go into the flames of hell with you? Wake up! Mothers, daddies, wake up! Sons and daughters, wake up! Sisters and brothers, wake up! I'm telling you, there's an eternal judgment of damnation coming on this world on every unbeliever that rejects God. We better wake up!
I'm preaching my heart out right now.
And I'm going to tell you what. She didn't just stop and say, hey, just give me your word. She said, I want a token. Give me a token. I want something secure. I want a pledge. I want a down payment. Now here, son, here's where the rubber's going to meet the road. Faith in Latin, faith in large, but faith endowed. You know what an endowment is? It's just a gift, a provision given. Look here. She said, give me a token. I want a token. I want a pledge. I want a down payment. Not that I'm saved. I want a down payment and a pledge that my family is going to be saved. Now look here. Oh, if you can get a hold of this. Mama, get a hold of this. Kids in my family, I'm telling you, get a hold of what preacher's getting ready to tell you. She said, I want a token, a pledge, a down payment that my family, that you're going to swear to me that my mother, my father, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have are going to get out of this place. And you know what they give her for a token? Scarlet thread of blood. Somebody said, Brother Hall, that ain't much. I'm going to tell you what that is, friend. That scarlet thread represented the blood. The blood, he said, no greater token can I give you than to save you by the grace of God. And if my grace is sufficient for a whore, it's sufficient for all your family. Do you hear what I said? There's God's token to you. That if God saves you, and you're under the blood, son, you've got a pledge from Him that His blood is just as sufficient for the rest of your family as it was for you. I guess you might say household salvation. You want it. Our problem today, we don't want it. I'm going to tell you why we don't. We don't believe it. Are you hearing me? Our problem today, we don't want it. Noah's, all Noah's family got in. Acts chapter number 16, when the Philippian jailer came and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Huh? Where are we living today? I'm going to tell you where we're living today. Letting the world roll by and letting our family die and go to hell. Concerned about everything, but seeing people saved by the grace of God. Oh, yes, sir. Give me a token. That word token means a flag or a sign. It means something appearing. She said a true token. It means something certain. I want something positive. She said, "I show me a true token. Not just a token to y'all." Oh, yes, sir. Give me a token. That word token means a flag or a sign. It means something appearing. She said, "A true token." It means something certain. I want something positive. She said, "I show me a true token." Not just a token. Did y'all read that in the Bible? Show me a true token. I want a true token. He said, "The most certain thing that I can give you." No. They brought the token. Let me ask you something. Do you have the scarlet thread running from the window of your house down to the bottom, right under the blood? May I say this, that the scarlet thread was on the outside of the house. Woo! You know why it was out there? Them two spies said, "You let that scarlet thread down, let her hang there. Let her hang there as a certain thing," and said, "When we come back in the wall before this wall," said, "we'll recognize your house by that scarlet thread hanging down on the outside." Didn't Jesus say, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you"? Hallelujah to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, hear me well. And the wall and all the city, all the whole city fell down, every bit of it, except her house. Here's what them spies said. Said, "You get your daddy, your mama, your brothers, your sisters, and put them in your house. Put them in your house." He said, "When we come back, we'll save the whole family alive." And said, "We'll know that's your house by that scarlet thread hanging down." Old brother Jack Shook preached here one Sunday. And he said he believed this is the way it happened. Said that crowd of Jews went marching around that city. Said they marched around it 6 days, seventh day, seven times. And said they give a shout. Said they give a shout. And said the whole wall, all the city, collapsed. And by the way, listen to me now. Her house was on top of the wall. Are you hearing me? It's on top of the wall. When they give a shout, old brother Shook said, "I believe that the whole wall fell down except that one place that her house stood on." He said the spies went in, brought her mother, her father, her brothers, her sisters, and all that she had out of the house. And then walked over and done this. And watched the rest of her fall. I tell you, hey, the blood, buddy, will sustain your family. Men, are you hearing me tonight? The blood will sustain your family. You can rest on it, buddy. They shelter under the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah to God. They power, power, they wonder, work and power the blood of the Lamb. I know there is, buddy. Now, I got to say one more thing about that before we move on. Do you know what Rahab done with those two spies while the king's men come to search her house? Does anybody know where she put them? Huh? Put them where, Miss Sharon? Put them on a rooftop. But what did she do with them after she got them on the rooftop? She hid them.
You know what I think that means? Are y'all with me now? I'm going to tell you what I think that means. The rooftop, she took the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and put them right on the very top of her heart. She gave them the most preeminent place in the house. In other words, she put them up just as high as she could get them. How much honor do you give to the Word of God and the Holy Ghost? Brother Jerry, what do you do with your Bible every night? Oh, Brother Jerry sleeps with his Bible. What did the psalmist say that he did with the Word of God? I will hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Let me ask you tonight. Have you hid the Word of God on the pinnacle of your heart and given the Holy Ghost preeminence in your life, totally yielded and submitted unto Him in all things? Didn't I tell you that two spies was a type of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost? She hit them right up front. Now look here, folks. Listen to me. Son, if this ain't good, I just had to do that. Let me ask you something. I think I'll lap her out one time down this aisle. Hear me what I'm getting ready to say. Can you ask, hey, how can a man lose when he's got the Holy Ghost living, I mean, when he's got the blood on the outside of his house and the Holy Ghost living on the inside? Woo! Hallelujah to God, son, you can't lose. No, sir, buddy. Hey, that old prostitute, that old harlot, that used to sell her body, are you hearing me? That her body was vile and wretched and wicked and ungodly has now become the temple of the Holy Ghost, and God lives in that body. Woo! And the blood on the outside. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes, sir. That's good, ain't it, Benny?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, I want to show you something. And I'll close with this. Faith enlightened, faith enlarged, faith endowed, and faith enjoyed. Somebody said, Brother Hall, where was faith enjoyed? Well, I'm glad you asked. Chapter 6, verse 23. My goodness, I've lost my glasses. Can't see to preach, Brother Jerry. I'm trying to. It ain't hid well enough yet. I'm trying, though. 6:23, and the young men that were spies went in. I get this. God. What God just said. God. What the Holy Ghost just showed me. Son, it's getting smoky on me, boy. It's about over now. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab. Hear me well. Boy, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He shall also quicken your mortal body. I'm going to tell you what that told me. That it's the Holy Ghost that's going to bring us up. Hallelujah to God. He's a coming after us. He's a going to come after us. Yes, He's a coming again. I didn't see that the right now. That thrilled my soul. The same two spies that went into her house and saved her, brought her out. Woo! Hey, look here. And yeah, oh God, it's still getting better. Hey, you know when they brought her out? Somebody help me. What was them priests doing out there when the wall fell down? Blowing the trumpet, boy. Woo! Hallelujah to God. When the trumpet sounded, they brought her out. Ain't that right? I'm about to get drunker than a coot. When the trumpet sounded, they brought her up. And get this. It was at the last trump.
Woo! Hallelujah!
At the last trump, buddy. And they brought her out. The same two spies brought out Rahab, but look here who they brought out. And her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had. They brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. They burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. Hey, look up here. Thank you, son. I'll let you throw a glass of water in a minute. Listen to me. You know what the word Joshua means? And Joshua done what? Hey, the two spies went in and brought her out, but who saved her? I'm glad, thank God, I'm Joshua! My Savior! My Deliverer! Saved me alive! Hallelujah to God! Didn't save her dead, saved her alive! Glory to God! We're alive in Him because He's alive in us! You get a hold of that, we're alive in Him because He's alive in us! Hallelujah to God! Oh, yes. Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot alive, and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day because she did, because she hid. Now get this. The messengers. God's messengers, the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. Hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out the land. Now, faith enjoyed. Rahab the harlot, everybody look at me now, perish not with them that believe not. When, I forgot what it said. Rahab the harlot perished not with them that believe not when she had received the spies with peace. Now, she's enjoying her faith. The rest of that crowd is on fire. You hearing me? The walls didn't just fall down. They burnt the city with fire. And while that crowd's burning, Rahab and her family's rejoicing. They're enjoying their faith. That ain't the end of the story. Have you ever read the lineage of Christ in the Bible? Do you know who Rahab was? Do you know that she married a man by the name of Salmon? You know who Salmon was? He was the daddy of Boaz. You know who Boaz was? The daddy of Jesse. You know who Jesse was? The daddy of David. You know who David was? God saves a prostitute. Isn't that the marvel of divine grace? How that grace can pick up a prostitute that's doomed and destined for hell and not just save her over family. My God. Get this. By her being in the godly line, the Davidic line, the lineage of the Son of God, save her and her family. You know what that's telling us, church? That her and her family typifies the whole family of God. That God saved them all. That's right. She typifies all, her and her family, all the redeemed. God. What wonder. How that grace can do that for an old prostitute. You think God can't do it for you? Well, I know God can do it for you. What He done for her, He's no respecter of persons. He'll do the same for you and the same for me. Wonder of wonders. the divine grace of God lifting up an old harlot. Covering her with the blood on the outside and sealing her with the Holy Ghost on the inside. Then putting her in the lineage of David, the King, the Lord Jesus. That's mind staggering me. But it's true. How about you tonight? Are you really saved? Do you really know the Lord? I want to encourage you to just submit yourself to Him tonight. Come to Him. And I'll tell you, if you'll receive Him as she did, God will save you. And if you're saved tonight, you ought to be enjoying what God's already done for you. Let's stand together. I've done my best.